Well, good evening. It's wonderful to be here at Worth Baptist Church. We've had a fabulous weekend. As you already met my wife, my name is George Crabb, and it's been a privilege to be a part of the RU program this past Friday evening. The spirit was wonderful. We had a wonderful time. I thought the message was superb on Friday night. I brought it, so I thought it was knocked it out of the ballpark. But we had a great time, I believe, and had some wonderful fellowship with Brother Sides and his wife and some of the other workers in the RU program here. It is a blessing to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity again. Brother Sides, thank you for your hospitality. As has been said, I'm a medical physician. I practice internal medicine with a subspecialty in addiction medicine in the Naples, Florida area. I also have the privilege of representing the RU recovery program across the nation, preaching for them and supporting them and representing them. I also have the wonderful opportunity and privilege of being one of the assistant pastors, bivocational, obviously, one of the assistant pastors at Gospel Baptist Church in Bonita Springs, Florida. So with all of that, that keeps us quite busy, but it is our passion. I always say that my profession is medicine. That's how I make my living. But my passion is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I find real satisfaction and fulfillment. And so it's wonderful to be here with you tonight. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. I know this morning we spent it in 1 Samuel chapter 9. But today we're going to look at this evening 1 Samuel chapter 8 and a few verses. I'd like to call this message the nature of sin. It can also be called the nature of addiction. But sometimes when I start talking about addiction, people that feel they don't have an addiction will turn you off. But I truly believe that all sin is addictive. All sin can get into your life and wreak havoc and devastation. And so I like to call this the nature of sin, this message tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, let me read verse 4 and 5 and then skip down to verse 9. And then we'll go through the context of where we're reading and then some information that I need to give you tonight before I get into my main thrust. It says in verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old." Now, I don't recommend starting a conversation out with someone telling them that they're old. But the elders of Israel thought this was prudent. But I don't recommend that. And they said, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." And then go to verse 9. It says, "Now therefore," God speaking to Samuel now, "Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And we're going to take our thrust tonight from verse 9, demonstrating the manner of the king that shall reign over them. As we get into this message, join me, though, as we ask for God's blessing on our time together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, your Son and our Savior. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the ability that you've given everyone to be here tonight to sit under the preaching of your word. And Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, that right now, even before the message really begins, that we will submit to the word of God, that we will say yes to God, that our decision has already been made, that we're going to listen to the word of God. So Holy Spirit, work in hearts as only you can. Change lives tonight. May tonight be a significant night for all of us as we yield our spirit, soul, and body to the will of God. And Father, help us be very careful to give you all the honor, glory, and praise, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the nation of Israel desiring a king to rule over them. Up until then, the nation of Israel had basically been reigned over by God through certain judges. And this was God's will for them at that time to have what we would call a theocracy, where God would be the leader. But the nation of Israel started to look around at all the other nations And they saw an individual, a physical individual in charge of the nation, and they desired to be, as the verses suggested, to be like all the other nations. And so they come to Samuel, who is the judge at that time, and they tell Samuel, listen, Samuel, you're obviously getting old. You're getting up there in age. Unfortunately, Samuel's sons did not follow their dad's footsteps in the respect to a spiritual well-being. And so the nation of Israel, the elders say, because you're getting old, Samuel, you're going to pass away soon. Your sons have not followed in your footsteps from a spiritual aspect. We would like to have a king to reign over us like all the nations around us. And Samuel takes the petition before God, and God and Samuel have a conversation. We listened into that conversation in verse 9 a little bit, where God tells Samuel, listen, I'm going to give them their request, but protest solemnly to the nation of Israel and show them the manner of the king that will reign over them. But before we get into that story a little bit deeper, I want to give you some basics that we teach at the RU Recovery Program and that I think are fundamental to understanding this portion of the Word of God. And the first thing that I would like to share with you tonight is our consistency, how we are made. According to the Bible, and I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 for this, we are spirit, soul, and body. We like to call it a trichotomy. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you and I are made in the image of God. It says so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, that we are made in the image of God. We are a trichotomy. God is three in one. We know that. He's a Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. Jesus Christ is just as much God as God the Father is. And the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is and God the Father is. They are a Trinity. Can I explain it? No, I can't explain it. I can barely understand it, but by faith I believe it because that's what the Bible says. And we are made in the image of God. We also are a trichotomy of spirit, soul, and body. I do not buy in, even though I was educated in this in my schooling, I do not buy into the theory of evolution. They call us an animal. We're part of the animal species. But my friends, I'm not an animal. You're not an animal. I'm not made in the image of an animal. I'm made in the image of God, according to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And don't buy that theory, because that's all it is of evolution. Believe in the literal creation that Genesis chapter 1 talks about. And so that is our consistency, that we are spirit, soul, and body. That's the completeness of who we are. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, our spirits died. And therefore, we were made incomplete. We are body and soul with a dead spirit. And that's where I would like to secondly talk about our conversion. Not only our consistency, that we are spirit, soul, and body, but we are incomplete because of sin. Sin that entered in through Adam and Eve, and now our spirit is dead. Our spirit needs to be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The spirit must be made alive. And we understand, probably all of you know these verses that are out there leading others to Christ, witnessing for Christ. But Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, let me read those because it shows how God uses our soul and our body in the conversion process. And that conversion process is when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. The only answer for my sin is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, was crucified on the cross, was buried, rose again 3 days later, and now is at the right hand of God making intercession for me, and I put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for me. The Holy Spirit comes in me and does a work we call regeneration, makes our spirit alive again. And as Paul told the Colossians in chapter 2, and ye are complete in him. Now in Jesus Christ, I am spirit, soul, and body again. I'm complete. And only Jesus Christ can do that. No one or nothing can do that except Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's the body, is it not, the mouth? If you'll confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that is your, that's part of your soul, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart, with your soul, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when we follow the Bible formula for believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates us, saves us. We are born again. Our spirit is alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see our consistency, that we're spirit, soul, and body. We see our conversion, that through our heart we believe, our mouth we confess, and our spirit through the Holy Spirit of God is reborn. Now we come down to the subject of our control. I believe the Bible teaches there's two systems of control. One is God's system, the other is the devil's system. Now the devil's system has many different names to it, but it boils down to the devil's system. You see, there can only be one truth, but there can be thousands of lies. And so we have God's system of control, which is the truth, and then we have a thousand or more lies that are out there that all spring from the father of lies, which is the devil himself. And how God wants to control us is through internal persuasion through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. You see, when you're born again, when the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates you, saves you, the Holy Spirit stays with you and will abide with you and will be with you forever. That's why he is the comforter that'll never leave us. It says in John 14, 16 that the Holy Spirit will abide with you. In John 14, 17, it says about the Holy Spirit that he shall be in you. In John 16, 13, it says the Holy Spirit will guide you. And in John 16, 14, talking about the Holy Spirit guiding us, that he will show us, or show it unto you, he will show us the way that we should go. So God, through his Holy Spirit, indwelling us as children of God, communes with our spirit, letting us know what we should think, what we should say, and what we should do. And that's who we should listen to, is the Holy Spirit of God. I want to think like God. I want to think like the Bible. I want to speak like the Bible. I want to act according to the principles and standards of the Word of God. That's how I desire to live my life. There are many times I fall short of that, but I'm going to tell you, it is the deepest, sincere desire of this man to do according to the Word of God. But then there's the devil's system of control. And we all deal with this. Anyone that lives in this world deals with these pressures. The devil, I do not believe that a child of God can be possessed by the devil or a demon, because I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So the devil, the demons can't get inside me, but they can utilize what we call external pressure to control our lives. The devil will attempt to control us through outside pressure. And he'll use many ways to do this. Some of the ways can be very sincere and loving, yet they are ungodly and wrong. Several years ago, it's been multiple years ago now, we had our first child who was our son, and my wife was brought up outside of the fundamental ranks that I was brought up in. I was born into a pastor's home and raised in church. I always tell people I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, Saturday soul winning, drug all the time to church. It's a good drug problem to have, actually. But my wife was raised outside of that in a different religious thought process. And when we had our son, he was just home from the hospital. Her mom and dad came over to our house to see their new grandson. And they posed the question to us, when are you going to have him baptized? Now, knowing my in-laws have passed away, I believe, knowing them with all their heart, I believe they were sincere and they loved their grandson. But their recommendation was ungodly, unbiblical, and wrong. That's external pressure. To conform to that external pressure. We gently told them that the Bible, as far as I can tell, I've read through the Word of God multiple times, I never find infant baptism in the Word of God. It's not there. People that were baptized after they were saved, after they accepted Jesus Christ. That's the biblical mandate. Salvation, baptism. And so we told them we don't find that in the Word of God, and therefore our son one day prayerfully will accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, which he has, and after that he will be baptized. But you understand that family can be an outside pressure. The devil can use family to be an outside pressure to try to control you, to try to do things that are unbiblical or ungodly. And they can be sincere and loving, but it can be wrong. Not only family, friends can do it, finances can do it, the devil can use finances. One of the major stresses that is in our country is obviously financial. Work can cause people to be pressed to do things that are not right, that are ungodly, that are unbiblical. Even religions that are not based on the Word of God can promote things that are not true to the Word of God, that are ungodly, that are wrong. And obviously you can get into the drugs and the alcohol, the rock and roll music, all of those things, the devil, it stems from the devil, and the devil utilizes those things from the outside, trying to bombard us and pressure us so that we will think wrong, that we will speak wrong, and that we will act wrong. And so we see how we are made, we see our conversion, and we see the two control systems that are out there. But my friends, we have a choice. And I'd like you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8 as we re-enter our story here. We have a choice. And may I say, it is an awesome responsibility that God has given us to make a choice on who we're going to listen to. That's an awesome responsibility. It says in verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." The nation of Israel had a choice. And in many cases, the nation of Israel chose other gods besides the God of Israel, Jehovah. They chose. You and I tonight have a choice. We will follow King Jesus and allow Jesus through his Holy Spirit as he guides us into all truth, which is the Word of God. We choose King Jesus and say, King Jesus, tell me, please, through your word, through the preaching, through the teaching of your word, tell me how to think. Tell me what to say. Show me what to do. I choose King Jesus. Or there's another choice, and that's choosing another king. That's not going to be biblical. It's going to be ungodly. It's going to lead you down a path of devastation, destruction, depression, and even potential physical death. We have a choice tonight. But God tells Samuel in verse 9, and he gives us this warning as well. He says, Samuel, and we'll read the verse in a minute, I want you to tell the nation of Israel, I want you to tell them the nature of the king. If they don't, here's King Jesus. He wants to rule over your life. First for salvation, that only in Jesus Christ can you be saved. I'm sorry, it's not Muhammad. It's not in the Buddhist writings. It's not in the Hinduistic writings or Confucius or Taoism. It's not in any of those things. There is one name given among men that whereby we must be saved. And my friends, that is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, we need to allow Jesus to save us and forgive us of all our sin. But after we're saved and we're walking on a daily basis, we need, I believe, on a daily basis to choose if I'm going to allow God to reign over my life or if I'm going to choose another king. And if we choose another king, as the nation of Israel desired, God tells Samuel, tell the nation of Israel the manner, the nature, the character of this king, so that they're well aware of what they're getting. Look there in verse 8. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Drop down to verse 11, the first part. And he said, Samuel speaking to the nation of Israel, this will be the manner, the nature, the character of the king that shall reign over you. So we have a choice tonight, do we not? Saved men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ. Will we choose King Jesus to rule our life? Or are we going to follow like the nation of Israel did and choose another king? Samuel told the nation of Israel, if you choose another king, I'm going to show you the manner, the nature, the character of that king. And tonight, in the Word of God, in just a moment, my friends, I'm going to share with you, if you choose another king besides Jesus, I'm going to share with you the manner, the nature, and the character of this king. And I want you to take your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 8, because it's very explicit, this type of king. If you do not choose King Jesus to rule your life and choose another king, whatever you want to call it, finances, fame, family, friends, religion, whatever it might be. This, according to the Bible now, is the manner of that king. Look what it says in verse 11. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And here are the statement, these four words. He will take your. Look down at verse 13, the first four words. And he will take. Verse 14, and he will take. Verse 15, and he will take. Verse 16, and he will take. Verse 17, he will take. That is the nature of the king besides Jesus Christ. Six times the Bible says, this king will take and take and take and take and take. He'll take everything that you love, everything that is precious, everything that is dear, and leave you to yourself. That's the nature of this king. He'll take your family. He'll take your friends. He'll take your finances. And ultimately, he's going to take your freedom. Several years ago, I was at the hospital, and it was a relatively slow day. I went down to the emergency room. And the emergency department had glass doors and a bunch of glass where you could look out where people would come in to the emergency department. A car drove up, and this is literal. I'm not fibbing or expanding the story, but literally a car drove up, the back door opened, and a young man's body was pushed out. The people in the emergency room, we all saw it, and went out and got this young man, brought him in. The emergency room department doctor and myself started to evaluate this young man. He was 19, we found out later. We found him intoxicated with alcohol and cocaine, a very deadly combination. We worked on him for several hours, very intensely. We had to revive him three separate times. He coded three times. We code blued him three times. Finally, as best we could, we stabilized him and moved him to the intensive care unit, where that was my main responsibility at the time, where I then assumed total care of him. He developed pancreatitis after we did a workup, inflammation of the pancreas. He developed what we call peritonitis, infection of the inside of the abdominal cavity. And I'm going to tell you, for 3 days, I worked feverishly to stabilize him and to help him live. In those 3 days, I spent most of my time in the intensive care unit, pulling 12-hour shifts. They ended up being 13 or 14 at a time. Let me ask you a question. How many people you think came and visited him? Where's all his friends? Where's his drinking buddies? Where's his drugging buddies? You know, he had one visitor. And you probably understand who that is. His mother. She sat, Pastor, at the side of his bed. I vividly remember this. With her hands in her face in her hands. And she would rock back and forth in that chair saying, "Jesus, save my boy. Jesus, save my boy." Vividly remember that. After 3 days, I pronounced that young man dead. That's what sin will do. It will devastate. It will destroy. And it can even cause physical death. This king that... If you choose this king, according to the Bible, he'll take until there's nothing more to give and leave you. If you choose King Jesus, what does he take from you? I think of one thing. He takes your sin and gives you his righteousness. And then he gives you his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love, his guidance. He gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, where the other king takes and takes and takes. There really, in our lives, should be no choice. It should be wholeheartedly, I want King Jesus. I want King Jesus to rule my life. But look down at verse 18. We showed you the character of the king, and I want you to see the cry. "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you." You see, we all have a choice tonight. Are we going to stand beside King Jesus and nail it down tonight? That's who I want to be with. I want him to guide me through his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please show me the right thoughts. Show me the right words. Show me the right actions. Or are we going to walk to this side and follow another king? Whatever you want to call the king, whatever it might be, it stems from the devil himself. And he'll take. And he'll take. And he'll take. The nation of Israel in that verse Samuel told him, you're going to cry out if you take this king. The nation of Israel, God said, you're going to cry out, but I'm not going to hear you in that day. But I believe tonight, my friends, if you've chosen this king and you're living under this kingship right now, that you can cry out to God tonight and God will be gracious. God will be merciful. And he'll draw you back to him and be your king to rule over your life. And so this is the manner of the king. And I ask you tonight, where do you stand? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the first step in making Jesus the ruler and reigner over your life. Accept Jesus Christ tonight. It is the most important decision you'll ever make. You say, Dr. Crabb, I'm 90% certain I'm saved. Well, you're probably 100% lost. Nail it down tonight. Drive a stake tonight here at Worth Baptist. That tonight, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I got it settled tonight. But child of God, where do you stand tonight? Isn't it tiring and fatiguing and exhausting to serve this other king? Are you not tired of him taking and taking and taking? Tonight, decide, I'm going to stand beside King Jesus with his grace and mercy as he gives me the power through his indwelling Holy Spirit. I'm going to live a life according to the word of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that was made available to me. Father, I pray that your words fell upon understanding ears. Holy Spirit, that you would work in every heart tonight. Father, that if there be one here tonight that is uncertain, they have doubts about their eternal destiny. They don't know if they're a child of God or not. They're batting that back and forth in their mind. Please, during this invitation, may they seek out some advice so we can share with them through the word of God how they can know for certain they're a child of God on their way to heaven. For your children tonight, I pray that you would help all of us make a decision that we're going to follow King Jesus, that we want to think biblical, talk biblical, and act biblical. Please, Heavenly Father, we all have a choice tonight. Help us make the right choice. Help us choose Jesus tonight. And may we walk out of here in victory, in freedom, in liberty, walking closely side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone in this auditorium tonight that would say, Dr. Crabb, I have uncertainty, I have doubts, I just don't know that I'm a child of God, but I would like you to pray for me. And I'm not going to embarrass you, I will not come back to you, but I will simply pray for you that you'll get this settled. By a raise of your hand, you're just acknowledging, Dr. Crabb, I'm struggling with this issue. I'm struggling with this matter. Please pray for me to get it settled. Anyone across this auditorium tonight, by a raise of the hand, anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just because you don't raise your hand still doesn't mean you can't come forward during the invitation. Just because you don't raise your hand doesn't mean you can't seek out pastor after the services. You can seek me out after the services, other men and ladies of the church after the services, and allow us to share with you through the authority of the word of God how you can be a child of God. Children of God tonight, by a raise of hands, you just say, God spoke to me tonight about the kingship of my life, and I choose Jesus Christ tonight. Just by a raise of your hands, you just say, God spoke to me, whatever it was, and I choose Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Appreciate all the hands across the auditorium. As God leads, as we have a song, this is an old-fashioned altar where you can humble yourself before men and before God and kneel and get your life right with God. Sometimes it's good to come forward and just nail down a decision that you made there in the pew as the word of God was preached. But as God leads in whatever way, as we all stand to our feet, and as we start singing, as God leads, don't resist the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Make a decision tonight. I choose Jesus tonight as we sing.